Welcome. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. It's a pleasure to have you all here this evening. I'm just full of joy, the joy of the Lord in my heart to see all of you here. And I just want to thank the Lord for your faithfulness toward Him. You know, He is the one whom we serve. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we serve. So let's pray, and then we go right into a verse that I want to share with you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for everyone in this place this evening, Lord God. Father, and I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord God? Would you help us, Lord, to understand your word this evening? Would you help us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to understand what it means, Lord, to serve you in the mission field? In a personal level, Lord God, would you help us to understand the need that there is in other nations, Lord, for your word and to know Jesus Christ? I pray for Mexico, Father God. We know that you are faithful, Lord, and the work that you have begun in Mexico, in Tejaro, you will finish it, Lord God. So, Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And I'm just going to share a little bit in this verse and share a little bit about what the Lord is doing in Tejaro, Mexico. I want you to pray for gospel for Mexico. And I please want you to continue to be praying for Mexico. They need Jesus Christ. They need our prayers. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority." If you have the old King James, you are reading, "All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Back to verse 18. All power, all authority has been given to Jesus. All power, and the Greek means exousia, exousia. And what that means is all authority, all power has been given to Jesus. All the rights have been given to Jesus. All liberty has been given to Jesus. All the power to do anything has been given to Jesus. And he has the absolute right to exercise that power. That's what it means. All authority, all power has been given to me. That's what that means in the original. So what did Jesus do with that power in these verses? He has a commission for you and me. He has a commission for his disciples, for his followers. Go, therefore. There is the go. You know, and I thank God, brothers and sisters, I got saved almost 29 years ago. And when I was brand new in the Lord, all excited for the Lord, telling everybody about Jesus, I remember having this dream, almost like a vision, for those that were not here last time. And I saw myself in my hometown 29 years ago, preaching the gospel to multitudes. The downtown area in my hometown was full with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And I knew in my heart that I was going to go back to Mexico someday. I don't know when, I don't know how, but now I know. God had prepared me, he's been preparing me for 29 years to go to Mexico and do the work which he has called me to do. So I'm going to go. I'm going to be obedient to my Lord. And I pray for all of you, brothers. God save us, you and me, by his mercy and his grace, to go. Where is that place for you? That is between you and the Lord. But for me and my wife, it's Mexico. And I just want to thank you all for all of your prayers. We feel your prayers when we are in Tejaro. We feel your prayers. It's so beautiful to minister to people when you know that the church is praying for you. Jesus has the power that has been given to him. So I pray, my brothers, please continue. Continue to pray for Mexico. They need you. They need Jesus Christ. They need your prayers. Mexico is such a dark place. There is no hope. You should see the eyes of people when I begin to share the hope that is in Christ. I see them just breathing deep with relief. Because the situation there is so desperate. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to run. Jesus is the only hope. So I pray, my brothers and sisters, please, I beg you in the name of the Lord, pray for Mexico. Pray for Tejaro. I know the Lord is sending us to Tejaro, but I'm praying for all Mexico to come to Jesus. And I know that the Lord is going to do mighty and awesome things in Mexico. Hundreds and thousands are going to come to Jesus because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, God so loved the world, not just Tejaro, not just Reno and Sparks, the whole world. So God is sending us out into the whole world to preach the good news of salvation. Brothers and sisters, thank you very much for all of your prayers. We love you. Please do not stop praying. Continue to pray that God will prosper the work that he has begun in Mexico. That is my prayer, and that is what I ask of you. In Jesus' name.
God bless you, brothers and sisters, for being here tonight. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for being here and for all the prayers that we know, we feel, are with us when we go there. Because we feel home. I mean, we're Mexican, but we feel home. Naomi is not Mexican, and she said, I feel home. I feel safe. There's no fear. We know that the Lord is sending us, and he'll protect us. And we're just being obedient and doing the work that he has sent us to do. But we know that the prayers are behind us. And thank you so much for that, because that comes from the Lord. And I have said before, we cannot buy the prayers. They're freely given. And thank you for giving them unto the Lord for us, interceding for us. God bless you.
Well, I wasn't even going to share. My husband told me before we came that I'm not going to be speaking, but I guess he kind of felt guilty that Rosario was speaking and not giving me the time. So, we thank the Lord for the opportunity to go with our brother and sister to Mexico on this last trip, and I got to tell you, it was just unbelievable to see the hand of God throughout the whole week that we were there. And I was sharing with some sisters here in the body of Christ, I never felt like that before on a mission trip. It's almost like the Lord was right there, face in person, everywhere we went, everything we did, he was like right there. And it reminded me, you know, when your children run to you, mommy, daddy, you know, can I get that? That's how the whole trip felt like. Everything that Rosario and someone need, it was like they need somebody to help with the house. That person was available right away. You know, everything, every detail. And just to see their lives and being over there with the danger that is so often shown on the news and we hear about, never once that we felt scared or afraid. There was total peace. And like our brother and sister shared, we knew it was the prayer There is nothing more powerful than the prayer of the saints. We are the hand and the feet over there, but it's you guys. It's you guys supporting that in prayer, and we just want to thank you all. And just speaking of our brother and our sister, being with them, and all I can say is watching Brother Solomon teach the word, even I didn't understand what he was sharing, but just watching him, he reminded me on a Proverb 27 that he said, you know, when water reflects the face, the heart of a man, his heart reflects what he does. I'm sorry, you know, but that's what we saw. What you see in him here is who he is over there. He's not another person here and another person. And this man, he loves the Lord and he loves the people. And I believe that's the most powerful. You have to love people. You can go teach the word, but if you don't love people, they will know right away that you don't love. You have to be genuine with your love, you know, for the people. Of course, you love the Lord first, but you also have to love the people. And that's what we saw with our brother and our sister. It was just so encouraging, you know, to come alongside them and just to be part of what they were doing over there. And I just want to encourage you, the body of Christ, you know, if you have the opportunity, come alongside and support, you know, in prayer. We all know that we're not all sent to go out to Mexico or wherever, but we can come alongside and pray for them. And that's the most powerful thing that we can do. And I just want to share, I'll finish with this because my husband is already making faces. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And I was asked, Lord, what he wanted me to share just in case my husband have mercy and give me time. This is what he gave me. just encouraging for the body of Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And whatever you do, sisters and brothers, don't be faint-hearted, you know. Your labor will not go in vain. Thank you and God bless you.
I ask you to let your word be few, but you took out of most of my time, yeah? But anyway, I'm glad to be here. You know, someone says that every heart that does not have Christ is a mission field. And every person that has Christ is a missionary. So that will make you and me a missionary. Right, Joe? Yeah, Joe says, no, I'm too old. There's no age limit. You know, this statement echoes the unlimited scope and a vision of a Christian a mission. Matter of fact, the last word of Jesus Christ, the last command that he gave to his disciple, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And still remain unfinished today. You know, but I can't help but to think about my brother here, of his obedience to the call that the Lord put upon his heart. And I learned something that the church that does not teach Christ, the church that does not teach the gospel, or preach the name of Jesus Christ, actually, will have no sustainable, you know, and consistent growth and existence. And it is a testimony of the church, you know, and the testimony of the church must be reflected in her inner and outer ministry. You know, and I can't help but to think about my brother. And it's just the whole time that we were there. And not only the ministry, but the lifestyle. You know, I remember there was a couple that came here and visited us from Dehara. We're asking Solomon, and he told Solomon, just, Solomon, are you telling me that you're going to leave all this stuff? You have a nice house and a good job, all this stuff to come to Dehara? And Solomon's response is that, yes. See, the value of a good missionary is not to receive, but to give. It's just like Jesus Christ. And the love for the people among who they will serve. And not only that, but the development of a relationship with these people. You know, it's so evident in the life of Solomon and Rosario. And a commitment, a personal commitment to Christ and his mission. Notice what I says. A commitment to Christ and his mission. The mission does not belong to us. It belongs to Christ. See, the problem is with us sometimes. There are people, they go out for themselves. I remember one time was Chuck Smith was talking about a paper missionary. Okay? And what it is that people who go out to other places and they will take pictures of people. What they do, they run a truck with candies and stuff. They will throw candies and all these kids were like reaching out. And they put that on a paper and send it back over here. But over there, they will live luxury. I mean, they have everything they wanted to have. But the true missionary is someone who give and not to receive. And the blessed truth is that the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. See, but that only can happen when believers proclaim to them the saving truth of the gospel. Romans 10, verse 13 to 17, I'm going to read it to you. It says, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings and good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As my wife was sharing earlier about the whole trip that we were there for the whole week, it's such an experience that I will never forget. And how the Lord just orchestrated everything. We have no plan, nothing. I'm gonna share with you some of the pictures that I'm gonna show later on. Someone asked me, he says to me, hey, look, why are you Christians walking around just like the rest of the world? And I says, what do you mean by that? I says, you just walk around just like the rest of the world. I can't even tell the difference between Christian and non-Christian. You know? And I start to get angry with him. Just who are you to tell me that? But I get to think about it, and he's right. And he says to me, look, you got to remember this, that we are walking victory. Jesus is just already victorious. You know, we are walking in victory. You got to walk around with a joy in your heart, man. You got to hold your head high. You know, we're walking around as a Christian. Sometimes we walk around like we've been defeated. But we have to remember, my friend, that Jesus Christ is already defeated. Satan. And I said with my brother over there, we were sitting down and have coffee one morning over there before we leave. He says to me, look, you know, we're just here to pick up the spoil. The battle is already won. We're just here to pick up the spoil. God was looking for somebody to send. And here he is. You know, and I get so excited about this man here, man. I felt so excited for the things of the Lord every time I've been with him. Because every time you see this man, he's always excited about the things of the Lord. He's always have joy, you know. And every time I've been with him, man, it's just get me excited about the things of the Lord. There's no doubt every one of us here going through a lot of stuff. But sometimes we got to remember that Jesus is already victorious. We are walking in victory in this life. We got to be different from the rest of the world. You see? So, but that's my encouragement for us. Just like my brothers and my wife share, you know, the prayer of the righteous, the Bible says, avail much. And we need prayer for the heart. There's a lot of stuff that I'm going to share with you. So I better stop right now so I can have enough time to show some of the pictures that I took. That's my favorite part of the mission night. Okay? So that's me and my wife. This is where we arrive at the Morelia airport on Sunday morning, I believe. This is Salomon Rosario trying to get us a rental car so we can get to where we're going. And this is Salomon's niece, Stephania. She cooked for us. It's very interesting that Salomon told me since last time they came, I don't know what happened. She didn't want to do anything. She just sleep. And this time he says, I don't know what's wrong with her. This time she wanted to cook. She wanted to do everything for her, to cook breakfast, cook lunch, cook dinner. And someone said, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what she's up to, but. Well, you got to turn your head to look at this picture right here. Okay, sorry about that. This is Stephania and her grandmother, Rosario, and my wife. And this is the building right over here. Hold those two doors here. This is the building. When we got there the first day, it was locked. I mean, it was locked, but we broke the key. We got to remember this house, this building has been sitting there for 20 years, over 20 years. And we broke the key. And someone was looking around and looking at me and looking at everybody else. Nobody had any idea. But good thing that someone's brother was over there, you know. So we called a locksmith guy to come over. And we were waiting over there. And we walked down to the street. There's an ice cream place. So we bought some ice cream in. And we got the door open. And this is what you're looking at. This is what it looked like. First when we first walked in there, it was dust. Even Rosario felt sick that day that we went over there. It was dust. It was filthy. And this is the part of the kitchen right there on the building. And this is someone trying to figure out how we're going to clean it. And I just took these random pictures of those two kids over here who was riding horse. Right in front of the house. And this woman over here is by the street. There's a little restaurant that we stop by there every morning to have a little have breakfast over there. And we didn't get sick, thank God for it. And this is Salomon and Rosario and my wife waiting for their breakfast. And that's what we got there Monday morning. We start cleaning the house. And you notice it that we have to wear a mask because it was very, very dusty. This is Salomon and my wife start sweeping up the floor. This is a before. I'm going to show you an after picture, okay? This is Rosario was cleaning the bathroom and stuff. I mean, everybody was working except me. No, I'm just kidding. I just took pictures. And this is Salomon. And this is after we cleaned a little bit and we mopped the floor. This is what the kitchen would look like right now. This is the here is the garage, but this is going to be the sanctuary. This is going to be where they're going to meet. And it's about 100 to 150 people will fit in that place right there. Okay? But that's just the sanctuary right there. You can see right there. That's going to be the church right over here. This is the roof of the building. I guess we plan they're going to plan to build another floor up there for the visitors. And this is my wife and Rosario having a water break. They work so hard. This is someone we're getting ready after this. We're getting ready to go to lunch. And this is our lunch. Those guys that we're going to go over there, man, this is good stuff. This is steak. And Salmon's sister, Nina, she's the one that was cooked for us. So it's safe. Those two tanks over there is water tanks. Okay, this is supply all the water for the whole building. And Salmon was up there. We tried to empty the tank. And he was handing me the bucket. And I dumped it. This man right over here, the morning that we went over there, the front of the building, it was garbage and, I mean, weed and everything. Me and Salmon, we cleaned it up. Remember the whole street, it was garbage and weed and stuff. So we pulled all the weeds and we, you know, and we were up there on the roof and I looked down and I saw this man and his wife cleaning up the front of the house. You know, what a testimony. And the saw of their different color of gloves. And this is where we're getting ready to, I mean, up there where they have all the debris and all the stuff, all the leftover tiles and everything was up there. Now you can look now, it's just, you know, it's start to clean up now. I mean, we worked so hard, man, including me. This is the backyard. Okay, notice those two trees over there. I have a story for you. Notice those two trees right over there, okay? This is the second floor of the building. You know, all the ceiling was falling off the, you know, tile came off. Got to remember, it's been sitting for like, and you can see the dust. This is the dust. Was in the building. And after a little cleanup and stuff, this is what it looked like. We work hard. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know about we, but I don't know. And this is Salmon, who just finished up cleaning the second floor of the building. There's four bedrooms in there. This is a stairway that goes up to heaven, I mean to the roof. And it's lunchtime. And every day is a different dish, man. This is it was Tuesday evening. After we ate lunch, we went home, get ready, came to this house here. There was a lady that opened her house for the Bible study. And this is someone who was teaching over here. And that's me. I was working. That's a proof that I was working. I told my wife, "Just better snap that picture. It's what it looked like. You see that?" I cleaned up, and I told my wife, "Just I was so proud of myself." And I said to my wife, "Says, hey, did you see those two trees? Did you guys see those two trees right over there? I cut it down myself." And my wife says, "What trees?" And I said, "Those two trees." Says, "Oh, I thought it was shrub." And just my wife was sitting there. I don't know if she's tired or hungry. It was a long day. This is a long day. And so I was just waiting to go eat. What's your favorite part? No. This is Wednesday evening. Someone doing another Bible study. And this is the woman that her house was open, her house for us to do the Bible study there. She loved the Lord. She reminded me of Mather, you know. She's serving all the time. And this is this couple. They came. I don't know if you guys remember. They came over here and visited us, but they live in Tohara. They invited us for a late dinner that evening. Yeah, homemade tamale. This is my wife and Rosario. And there's those the two tanks over there, water. And this is a Catholic church. I don't know if you guys saw that before in the picture of Salman and Rosario there. But there's a Catholic church right across the street. And that day over here that we came over here to check out some of the workers, the people that came and worked in the house, fixed the roof and stuff. And this is homemade salsa. Yeah, my favorite. And this is Nina. And that woman, she loved the Lord. And, she told Solomon one day, he says, this is my favorite part of the day, to serve the people of God, the servant of God. You know, it's so awesome. And since we worked so hard all week long, you know, my brother here was kind enough to take us to a place where they make ice cream, homemade ice cream. Okay, and there they are, enjoying their ice cream. I already finished mine. You go. Okay. Brother Solomon was asking me if I can, if I want to teach Friday evening, our last day, in Spanish. And I says, well, it's going to be a problem because I don't know if they're going to have that patience with me. That, you know. So, and Solomon turned around and told the people. On Wednesday, he says, Luke is going to be teaching Friday, so he got 2 days to learn how to speak English. And these are the kids. We went over there the first day. There was no kids at all. And we were on our way to the Bible study. We were praying that the Lord will bring the kids over. And sure enough, man, he just brought all those kids from the neighbors. And Solomon and Rosario and my wife were over there teaching those kids. It's a blessing. These are the kids. And these are the couple. They are inviting us for the dinner. They came in. They came here and visited Solomon and Rosario. There's this group photo of all the women and those that came to the Bible study and all the kids. There they are. This woman over here is trying to teach my wife how to speak Spanish. My wife tried to teach her how to speak English. And this is, was that Friday or Saturday morning? We came by the house to check out the one last time to see if everything went okay. This is one of our prayer requests, okay? Not only that, but this building right over here is connected to the Solomon Rosario's building. And it's been sit there empty, vacant. People, they built that building, I guess they were, after when they start building the building, with all the stuff that went on in New Mexico about killing and all that stuff, so they're afraid, they're scared. They live in Chicago, I believe, so they never came back. And that was our prayer over there, that this building over here will become a school for the church. So this is one of our prayer requests for this building. It's a big building. It's sit right at the corner. And this is someone's sister, Maria, was cooking some breakfast for us. What do you call that?
Enchiladas.
Enchiladas, yeah. I'm learning, though. And this is someone's dad and his brother. We came there to say goodbye. And Solomon looked up. They saw some guava trees up there. So we went over there to get some guava on our way to the airport. Check that out. Fruit salad, man. Never taste anything like it. You know, you get $2. You know, Costa Rica was what? $5. This is $2. This is the fruit salad. It was a treat for us. We worked so hard all week long, man. My brothers are so kind. Took us over there to have some fruit salad, some refreshment. And this is about 5 o'clock in the morning. We'll take on our way to the bus station. And this is Salman and Rosario and my wife waiting at the bus station. to take a three-hour ride to Guadalajara for a fly back. And this is Rosario. They are tired. My wife, they want to go home. And this is Guadalajara Airport. That's where we left from there. So that's all, folks. That's all the pictures that we have. And I hope that you guys have a good Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much turkey. Leonard, would you come up and close for us? Thank you, guys. God bless you.